And we are in the book of Titus, chapter 3. How many of you have been reading Titus as we've been working through it? Okay. All right. Titus takes you 20 minutes. I mean, just saying. Titus 3. Here we go. It's going to be a good one. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. A reminder for you, we have teaching notes for you in our app. Helps you kind of follow along, gives you the scripture. You can think about things and jot some things down on your phone along the way. If you need our app, you can get it at revolutionky.org. And this series is all about a letter from Paul to Titus. Paul calls Titus, my true child in the common faith. That word true meaning authentic, genuine, legit. Titus is a true, legit son of God. Just as we have sung this morning, that's why worship and teaching kind of fit together. We praise God, thanking him for who we are, and then we learn and grow in our faith. We are true children of God, just as Titus is. How do we become true children of God? By faith in Jesus. And when we, by in faith in Jesus, we say, Jesus, you are Lord, you are Savior, we become sons and daughters of the living God, sons and daughters of the Father. And as we become sons and daughters of the Father's character becomes our character. What's that character all about? Well, we sang about it this morning, right? It's about love and joy and holiness and goodness and mercy. God's character becomes our character. You know, the goal in being a Christian is to be like Christ. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes Christianity gets about picking what we're against rather than who and what we're for. Who are and what are we for? We're for God's character, and we're for God's character becoming manifest to the entire world. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And so as we've learned that as we take on God's character, we're called to become leaders in our community, teachers of truth, mentors to other people. Last week, Matt described the importance of community and having a group to do community with. How many of you met with your renovation group again this week? Was it good to be back? Yes. Kind of feels like home again, doesn't it? Absolutely. You know, sitting in the pews, learning, growing in our faith is great. But sitting in the pew should lead to shaping a life that's like Jesus' life. That's why we're here this morning. We're here to praise God. We're here to learn and grow. We're here to become just like Christ. And we're after two words today. Actually, four words. Let me reshape that. Good doctrine and good deeds. Good doctrine and good deeds. Well, what do they really mean? Doctrine literally means that which is taught. That which is taught. And if you think about it, Jesus is Lord, he's Savior. Jesus is also an amazing teacher. His disciples call him Rabbi, right? Rabbi means teacher. It's not like some word that doesn't have a rabbi. Anyway, He's a teacher, right? And Jesus, throughout his entire ministry, you look at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're a big part of our Bible. Jesus is constantly teaching people. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. He says things like, be perfect because your heavenly Father is perfect. That's a tough one. I don't know if it's tough for you, but that's a tough one. Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. And he tells stories like there was once a son who asked for his inheritance from the father, and he went away and squandered it in wild living. And wouldn't you know, he ran out of money, so he came home. And you'd figure the father was going to be the one to really give it to the son, but instead he greets him with open arms, puts a robe on him, a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. Jesus is always teaching. He's an amazing teacher. He's a teacher of a doctrine of how to have a life in Christ, how to have a life as a son or daughter of God. Now, deeds literally means useful action. What are good deeds? Well, if you want to know what good deeds are, look at the first two chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2. God's good deed is in creating this creation, and he says to the people, you care for it, you create as I've created. Well, what are you supposed to create? You're supposed to create the opportunity for life to continue to exist. Steward it, rule over it, subdue it, fill it. That's good deeds. To continue forward the work of God. So you've got that which is taught, and you've got useful action. Both matter. Character and conduct. Belief and behavior. Anybody know who this guy is? I know you know who he is. Come on now. It's a stumper. This is... this. Who got it?
Lee.
Who are you thinking? Close, same era. This is actually Karl Barth. Everybody know old Carlos? Didn't think you would. That's trickery. Sorry about that. Karl Barth, whether you know it or not, has influenced your Christian faith for as long as you've been part of a church, or if you're part of a church today for the first time, we are really glad you're here. Karl Barth is in some way influencing you now. He is the greatest theologian of the last 200 years. And he successfully helped recover Christianity from atheism when atheism was very prevalent. He fought against the Nazis. He talked about the importance of the authority of Scripture. I mean, an amazing, amazing theologian that has influenced the thought of anybody who's been a pastor for the last 100 years or so. Amazing doctrine. In fact, most students, seminary students, are going to read at least pieces of his Church Dogmatics, which is like this huge 20-some-odd volume of books that... read it if you want, but it's great stuff. I mean, I love it, but that may not be your thing. But you should, anyway. But what's interesting about Carl, as awesome as his doctrine was... he had some interesting deeds. Carl had a wife and five kids and a secretary named Charlotte that lived with him while the wife lived downstairs. Good doctrine. Don't know about good deeds. So, do you believe that good doctrine and good deeds matter? Yeah, so now you're on the hook. Let me explain why that's important. Look what 3:1-2 says. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. How are we doing? Now, just so we're clear, that word submissive, right? That word submissive literally means to put oneself under, to become subordinate to, to give oneself to the other. And in this sense, a few weeks ago, we talked about husbands and wives being submissive to one another, right? So now the scripture, Paul takes it further. He says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. So what do you do with that? For the last 10 years, I guarantee you, you like one and dislike the other. And I'm not using the word hate because that's not a good word. So if it's in your vocabulary, I suggest we all work on removing it, myself included. You like one and you dislike the other. You like one's politics, economics, social reform policies, and you dislike the other ones. What do you do with the scripture? And it's so funny how the Bible challenges us in ways that we never thought possible when we actually read it. And just so you don't think this is an isolated moment where Paul or anyone else is saying something like this, he says in Romans 13:1, this is Paul, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. And Peter says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or as governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. See, this whole matter of doctrine and deeds just got real. And the early Christians, they lived this better than anybody. Persecuted movement, right? It wasn't like, hey, I'm a Christian, I got a t-shirt. You know, as soon as they found out you were at one of the gatherings, bam, they're putting you down. And yet what Paul is saying, just as Peter has said, is you got to love them too. Be subject to the ruling authorities. What do we do with that? Like, well, what do we do, Brian, when, you know, the ruling authorities, we don't think that what they're doing is right? Do you think the early church thought what they were doing was right? Well, they resisted. I mean, they called Jesus Lord and not Caesar. It's a pretty big deal. But their character, their obedience, their integrity was unparalleled. Their doctrine was overcoming evil by doing good. Isn't that what Jesus said? I don't really care what you think of this leader or that leader. I'm not here in support of one leader or another leader. I know that we're called to pray for them all. Whether you like them or not is not the issue. Your character is. What about Martin Luther King? What do we do when we disagree with our leaders? And what about what he did? Well, let's talk about that. Here's some points I've summarized for you in his 1964 Nobel Peace Prize speech. I would encourage you to read that for yourself so you don't take my points as to be the gospel truth and you learn them for yourself. He said, resist nonviolently, don't humiliate or defeat people, but win their friendship by awakening moral shame. Direct action at evil forces, not against those doing evil. Be willing to suffer and not retaliate. Do no harm to your opponent and also refuse to hate him. The universe is on the side of justice. Have deep faith in the future. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. How are we doing, church? It's like a knife, isn't it? There's a scripture in the book of Hebrews that says the word of God is living and active. And it divides us. It cuts us down to the core of who we are. I looked at this months ago and I thought, I don't want to touch this passage with a 10-foot pole. And I prayed about it and God said, you will touch this. Our Our deeds, our interactions with other people, the language that we use about our leaders matters. It can draw people toward Christ or push them away. I remember once I was playing golf with somebody. I had a friend with me, business leader in the community, and our interaction for the day starts with some of the most vile language coming out of this man's mouth about a young lady who's part of pop culture and some of the things that, anyway, we'll just leave it right there because we have young ears in the audience. We need to keep it PG. But I mean, it was just foul. And one of my buddies said, you know, Brian, I kind of know that you're in anything goes and you're not going to get in anybody's way. Do you want me to tell this guy to stop? I said, no, just wait for it. This is going to be a great day. And so, I mean, this guy goes on for like five holes about this stuff, and I'll never forget, we're standing on the seventh green, and the question comes up, and I love it when this moment happens. What do you do for a living? Awkward! I said, well, I'm a pastor. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry! And I'm a Christian, and I go to this church, and I've got a Jesus ball marker and all this stuff. And I said, okay. He said, well, I shouldn't have said that. I'm like, hey, man, that's between you and God. But I don't know if I'm going shopping at his place of business. And I thought, boy, your doctrine might be Christian, but what about your deeds? Legit Christians of character have doctrine and deeds that match. Guilty is charged sometimes. And this passage, these first two verses today, man, they are gripping. They're hard. They're hard. Because I guarantee you, you look deep enough into your heart, and somewhere there is anger or hatred. Or if you're sarcastic, let me just help you a minute. Sarcasm's a form of anger, so you're just angry or have hatred. And these scriptures, man, they just lay us bare. And what I want you to hear at the outset, because we're going to get to the good news part, right? This is the hard news part. We're going to get to the good news part. The good news is this. If God is speaking to you today and showing you these things, it doesn't mean he hates you. It means you're a son or daughter of his. And he says, I don't want you to carry this anymore. Let's worship. God, we thank you as your sons and your daughters for grace that you give. And so, God, we pray that you would make that grace manifest to the world. We pray for those who have been oppressed, who have been harmed, who have been unjustly treated, who are falsely imprisoned, who are without and should have, who are in lack and in need and have not been satisfied. And God, we pray for leaders, whether we like them or not, whether we agree or not, we pray that you would lead them on both sides of the political spectrum, in all places, both here and abroad. God, may your power be made manifest. May your plan be fulfilled, and may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, our Savior. Amen. Please have a seat. So now that the scriptures have twisted and punched us right in the guts, maybe the question we have to ask ourselves is, why does this matter and what do I do about it? Look at the scripture from Titus 3:3, picking up where we left off. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. It is a picture of life on Crete before Christ. That's verse 3, life on Crete before Christ. When doctrine and deeds are off, what happens is foolishness and being led astray happens in our lives. These two things happen over and over in a variety of seasons in our own lives. And when foolishness and being led astray happens, that's when you end up with hatred in your heart. Because we become more polarized, more interested, more concerned about one thing over something else that matters even more. Actually, I think this is how it works. Here's my new theory, and I'm testing this. Let me give a caveat. This is still a work in progress, and it may not follow the exact seasons of the year, but see if you see these seasons in your lives. I typically find in the church, summer is the season of wandering into foolishness. Now, it may not just be that physically, it may be that spiritually, right? It's that season in your life where, hey, everything is so good and I'm having fun and I'm busy and we're going 100 miles an hour. I love summertime. I mean, I love the weather. I love that it slows down a little bit here. I love that season, but what's hard is I watch these chairs get empty, and I always wonder, what are the sheep up to? Mm-hmm. And you are prayed for. And so then the fall comes, right? Last weekend, here it was fantastic. Forgive me that I was not here. My little 8-year-old boy had an event, and I want to be the kind of dad who's present for him. And I love you, and I love this church, but I want to be present for my kid, too. So we're going to find that balance. But I love what happens last weekend. So everybody returns. We watch our attendance numbers go back to where they should be, and it kind of makes us all feel good. And people, they begin to plug into church again. They're like, oh, yeah, okay, summer's over. You know, we got the schedule back. Everything's good. I'm going to return. I'm going to plug in my renovation group. It gets going. I need to get praying. I haven't prayed in a while. I haven't really read my Bible in a while. It's really time for me to jump back on the horse. And so fall comes, and everybody's jumping back in. And then winter comes. And winter's great. It really is. The weather may not be great, but winter is great because all of the deadness, we begin to discover it, right? In Kentucky, the winter's terrible here. I mean, you can't go skiing. You got, like, basketball and church. That's all you got, right? So it's a great way to get new discipline in your life because you have space for it. And so people are reading their scriptures, they're getting involved, they're figuring out their stuff, and all of this deadness begins to die because new patterns of life, of doctrine, of deeds begin to emerge. And then the most magical thing happens. Somewhere around the end of February, towards the beginning of May, new life is happening. I love that time of year here at church. I mean, it's Lent, and we're learning, we're growing, people are thriving, they're serving, they're spiritually connected, they're in the pews every Sunday, and they're like, man, life is so good. I mean, God's just speaking to me in ways that I could never imagine before. And then I watch Mother's Day come, and the whole cycle repeats itself over again. Sound right? The Brian Ebel theory of seasons might be indeed tested and approved. Yeah, the foolishness, it happens in seasons of summer when busyness replaces good doctrine and good deeds, and people return to life on Crete before Christ, and they forget about him. And as soon as we do, various pleasures, malice, envy, hating others, and being hated enters into our lives. You see, this whole teaching today, good doctrine and good deeds, it's not hard conceptually. For most of you, you're thinking, this is the most elementary thing I've ever heard. Good. It's not hard conceptually. It's just hard practically. The theory's simple. Doing it is something radically different. And it's much like a muscle, right? You don't exercise and it atrophies. Marathon runners probably don't eat a whole lot of cheeseburger and milkshake type dinners every night. And it's no different in our faith. If you don't exercise in God's grace, what will you turn to? You'll turn to various passions and pleasures and malice and envy and hating others and being hated. Why is it that so many of you can tell me what the latest news on politics and world events is, but if I asked you to find a book in your Bible, you'd have no idea where it was? Why, if when I asked you, what's the latest thing you read, you could tell me this book or that book or this blog or this news feed, but nothing of Scripture would come out? What's really important in our lives? I mean, church, we say that we love Jesus, and yet we don't even know him. And then you get to this time of year, and we wonder collectively and individually, why are we stuck? We're stuck because we need to be revived. Do your doctrines and deeds match? Is there hatred in your heart? Do you speak evil of others, or are you courteous even when they're not toward you? What do we do about it? Well, that's why you're here this morning. The very first word sometimes in a passage is the best. Here's the word, remind. Remind. You know why we gather for Sunday worship? To be reminded. Here's who we are. Here's who God is. Here's who we're called to be. Here's what we're called to do. To be reminded. I need that. When Daryl leads me on Sunday morning in worship, I need to be reminded of who I am, of who God is, of who I'm called to be. Because it's just so easy to forget. Good doctrine and good deeds, it's not hard conceptually, it's just hard practically. And the good news is this, that we were once Cretans too. I mean, look at the passage, what it says. It says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior, he appeared on Crete, he's appeared to us, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Holy Spirit's been speaking to you this morning. Right? Holy Spirit's been speaking to you this morning. Hey, this is here. You know that moment where you go, ooh. Or even the part where you go, I don't like this at all. I'm ready to leave today. Because some of you have, and that's cool. I get it. Thanks for staying. That's the Holy Spirit. Revealing to each one of us, man, there's some stuff that's got to be fixed. And we can't fix it ourselves, right? It's not because we're good, it's because God is good. And why does he want to change our character? Because he loves us. Because we're his sons, we're his daughters. And when you receive that doctrine, when you receive the teachings of Christ, when you make it your own, then your deeds have to change. And if you have hatred in your heart, then hand it over to God. If you don't like what you see in our culture, then instead of posting on it about it on social media, go serve alongside that marginalized or oppressed community. I mean, if we really cared about poverty and some of these things, maybe more of us would go hang out with Steve at 4th Avenue on Sunday morning.
Or if you really there after the service.
That's a good call. Or if you cared about racism, then you would get involved with local leaders. Instead of just talking about it. I mean, if that stuff really matters to you, if there's a heart or a passion or a cause that you want to get involved in, don't talk about it, just go get involved.
Wow. Go.
Because some of our social media posts, Christians, I'm not just saying this to the church, I'm like macro church, big church, they're killing us. They're killing our witness. Our behavior and the stuff that comes out of our mouths, whether we agree or disagree, it's killing our witness. And for far too long, church, we've cared more about what politicians say than what Jesus says. So today, I think the silly season has to end. Summer's over. I mean, it's kind of depressing a little bit, but... But if you've got foolishness in your life, if there's lust or greed or envy or hatred, then lay it down. Lay it down. How do I do that? Well, you just say, God, this is in my heart, and your Spirit's revealing it to me. And there's this beautiful part of Scripture that I read today, and it said this, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Because if you take over, then that stuff can't be there anymore. And so I don't want hatred, God. I want you. Be a great prayer. Make it your own. Do it your own way. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that Scripture's hard. And sometimes... As it did for me, and perhaps some of these, my brothers and sisters, it smacks us in the face. And that's good. It's good because it reveals to us that you love us, that you won't give up on us, that you're concerned with the people we're becoming as we're being readied for life, eternal life with you. So Lord, today, help us lay down our envy, our hatred, our foolish pleasures. Help us bring those things to the cross, that you might absorb them in your broken body, and in return, grant us your Spirit and new life. Help us get involved and serve alongside the communities that are marginalized or have been treated unjustly. And love these our brothers and sisters as you have loved us. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A question came in. Can you provide a link to MLK speech, Martin Luther King speech, 1964 speech? I will do that. Matt, can we do that in our e-blast this week? You know why I ask him? Because he's awesome with that stuff. So, all right, we will do that. It'll be on our Wednesday e-blast. If you need our e-blast, send us an email, and we will put you on the list. Who knew three chapters could be so hard-hitting? But they are, and Scripture, it's a real great gift of grace God has given us. My encouragement this week is read Titus, and let's watch what God will do in each one of our lives. Have a great week. Be the revolution.